Well, here's mine. Some of you might be here because you have kids. Some of you might be here because you heard my announcement and realized that it might be a good idea for you to come this morning. Some of you might be escaping the acoustics in the gym, but for whatever reason you're here. I'm glad that you've taken time this morning to come and hear something about what we're doing here at SGR with kids and why we're doing what we're doing here. Whatever's brought you here, I hope you leave today still thinking about a few things. Thinking about what does church look like for children? Thinking about what children have to show us about what it means to be in relationship with Jesus and what that looks like. And also what our responsibility is in teaching and interacting with children. There are a lot of different perspectives on all of these topics. There's a lot of strong opinions on a lot of these topics. But my goal this morning is just to share with you some of the strengths of the approach that we have taken here, that we have felt led to here, and give you some insight into why we have chosen to do things the way that we do. So, to start off, I want to get everyone thinking and participating together. This morning you guys were in church over there. And I want to think about what the different components of a Sunday morning for you guys are. So, I'm going to write church in the middle. And I want you guys just to call out what different things do you do?
Singing.
Praying.
Singing.
Prayer.
Listening.
Listening.
Reflection.
Looking at the banners.
Looking at the banners, right? Looking around?
Yeah, around. Looking around.
Yeah, absolutely. So that has to do with the place. You guys probably can't see this, that's okay. The place that you are in?
Teaching.
Teaching? Yes.
Eating and drinking.
Learning.
Yeah.
Learning? Yeah.
It's really good.
Eating and drinking.
Well, once every fourth Sunday, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, responding, like when we do the liturgy and
yes. Responding to what you heard.
That's right.
And you're present. You're there in the community.
Yeah.
There with others.
So maybe I could also say you're actively there.
Yeah.
You're present. Anything else? Guys, can you all see that?
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
Sharing?
Yeah. We're in fellowship with one another.
Confessing,
yeah. Gonna add worship, which is covered by most of those things, but let's state it explicitly.
Greeting,
yeah. A whole bunch of these can fall under the category of relationship. We are growing in relationship both with one another and with Jesus, with our Lord and our King. I think that's pretty good. Okay. So, there's church for you guys on a Sunday morning. Those are all the things you do and participate in. Some weeks it's all of them, some weeks it's some of them. For those of you with young children, some weeks it's very few of them. But some of them we get to do together on Sunday mornings in this place and this time that we have set apart to come and be a part of this family. So now we've talked about church from our perspective, and I'd like to take a minute to give you some background information before we keep going. There's been a lot of research done in the past 20 years, especially looking at how we learn and how we grow. It falls under the category of developmental psychology. So what happens in our brains? How do we learn stuff? What order do we learn it in? Also, what conditions help us flourish and what things impede growth? And there's been some pretty big changes that have come out of that, particularly in the school system, in how we educate our children, and increasingly in parenting styles and strategies. Part of that is looking at the child not as a little adult who is waiting to grow up and be able to function as we can with the same capacities that we have, but a child created by God with intrinsic gifts and intrinsic value simply at the stage and age that they are at. God's development of human life is miraculous right from the very beginning. The growing and giving birth to children out of our bodies and raising them from very small and completely dependent babies to fully functioning and independent adults. The views and perspectives on how to get from point A, an infant, to point B, an adult these days, are dizzying in their variety and in their contradiction. But I want to briefly highlight a few things that will be helpful for us in our ongoing conversation this morning about children's ministry here. The image of a flower is one you might have heard before and one that I have found really helpful. You can imagine a rosebud. It's closed up so tight, and you can barely see the various petals that are making up the bloom. Over time, though, if it receives the things it needs, the soil and the water, the sun and pruning and all of those things, it will blossom. But if you attempt to pull the petals apart, you may succeed in seeing the center of that flower, seeing its color, seeing its shape. But in the process, you bruise and damage the petals, making it impossible to see what the blossom would have looked like if it had been given the time it needed to open on its own. I'm sure you can see where I'm going with this. Children need so much care in their growing, as anyone who has spent time with children well knows. They need food, shelter, warmth, care, education, experiences that enrich their lives and view of the world. They need love. And as parents these days, we are pushed really hard to offer our children a plethora of experiences and classes and books and information that we hope will lead them to having full and successful and productive lives. And all of that is really good. But there's something else to add, something that lies at the very foundation. The days and weeks of childhood are not valuable simply as a means to the next stage, to get on with crawling so they can walk, practicing their letters so they can read, kicking a ball so they can go on to play in the World Cup, to do their homework so they can get into a good university and get a great job. These are the messages we hear, though, and the values that we are presented with on a daily basis. They are future-focused, and they are bound to the successes and accomplishments of this world. So I want to offer the idea this morning that each stage and age and moment and skill is something to be celebrated and explored in and of itself. That childhood and the child is something to be respected and given the time and space it needs to fully blossom all on its own. That is not to say that they do not need our teaching and our modeling and our guidance. The blooms need a gardener. But being able to have the patience and ability to give thanks for each passing moment and stage goes a long way in letting our children unfold according to God's plan. God is an incredible gardener, and we have the privilege of being his helpers in that task. The more time a child has to spend in their current stage practicing and exploring the skills and abilities that are particular to that age and stage, attending to the things that interest and captivate them, the more fully they'll develop that particular and valuable skill or perspective. They are sending their roots down deep rather than shallow, and it leads to much strength, both in the moment and in the future. And so putting the expectations of a 9-year-old onto a 6-year-old, or conversely, the expectations for a 4-year-old onto a 7-year-old, lost my spot. It doesn't promote their deep and valuable learning of whatever it is they're currently preoccupied with, wherever they're at, in whatever age and stage they're at. So from a developmental perspective, children will grow and mature and learn new skills and acquire knowledge in their own time and at their own pace, given the right conditions and opportunities and encouragement and love to do so. And this looks really different for every child. And we have the privilege of watching those individual blossoms unfold. So, what does this have to do with Sunday school? If any of you have Bibles here, or if you want to grab a couple of Bibles and pass them around, I'd like to take a brief look at the passage on Jesus and the children. So if you have an iPhone or a Bible, we'll turn to Luke 18, verses 15 to 17. And I'll read it out loud. And you'll need them again later. So.
What's that passage?
It's Luke chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Now, Luke chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Now, they were bringing even infants to him, that he might touch them, or lay his hands on them and bless them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." So how does Jesus interact with children? There's a few things that we can know from this passage. Firstly, Jesus calls the children to come to him. This in and of itself is extraordinary. Jesus stands apart from most other religious figures because he calls the children to him. It's yet another powerless and undervalued group in society in that time and place. And Jesus calls them as he calls all of us to himself. But he doesn't just allow them to sit at his feet while he continues to talk and pray. Nope, he picks them up and he holds them in his arms and he blesses them. He shows them his love for them. And then he goes on to say more. To the adults, he says, "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." The truth of the matter is that children have something to show and teach us about how to enter the kingdom of God. They show us the way in their utter dependence, their unworldliness, their openness, and the completeness of their trust. They show us how to be dependent upon God by how dependent they are upon us. They show us how to be children of God, something we find very difficult to do as adults. And we are charged not to hinder them, to allow them to come to Jesus, to bring them up to know and love him. For us to be in relationship with them in a way that acknowledges the example that we have in God our Father, something that is impossible for us to do without his grace and help through his Spirit. And this is our primary work as Christian parents, this relationship, this growth, this development. All the other goals and dreams and aspirations we have for our children in the future are far less important than their ever-growing love of and relationship with Jesus. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Our primary goal as parents is not future-directed success and achievement and status. Our goal is that our children now and here today would be growing in relationship with Jesus, who calls them to himself. So then, Sunday mornings at SJR. I think it's important to state first that just as we are called to live out our Christian faith throughout the week, not just on Sunday mornings, so too the children's time with us upstairs is only a part of their Christian maturation. Their relationships with you, as their parents and their parents' friends, the example you set in living out your own faith, and what you do together as a family and one-on-one with your children are just as important as our time spent here on Sunday mornings. As we gather together as adults on Sunday morning to do all the things we've listed here, it is good and right that the children have an opportunity to be with us as well. It's a wonderful thing to worship together and to celebrate our unity in Christ, young and old. And I encourage you to try and find a way of having this be a time with your child, ways of encouraging their participation rather than just their silence and their compliance. This often takes some creativity and the patience of other adults in the congregation as we work to help our children joyfully worship with us. And then the children come up to the front, and we pray for them, and they leave. So where are they leaving to? Where are they going? What will they be doing? And what is the point of it all? Well, we have the sermon and the prayers and the scripture readings, times of quiet and times of praise, the chance to sit near those you are growing in relationship with, to look around and see others like you worshiping, the chance to hear us praying and praising with one voice together, and lots of other things too. And our children are doing just the same. They are not simply being entertained or even just taught, while the parts of the service that are too long and arduous for them are going on. They're not upstairs or out of the service for the convenience of adults who don't want to have to deal with wiggling and noise for the entire service. We're not providing Sunday morning babysitting upstairs, not at all. Upstairs and in the nursery, the children are in children's church. In their own way, at their own stage, we are allowing them to come to Jesus as they are and fully participate in worship which is meaningful and accessible to them. Through this participation, our prayer is that they would blossom, slowly, at their own speed, in God's time. We might see them coming to know and love Jesus more fully. As we trust that he is doing this work in them, whether we can see it or not, we ask for the patience to wait for the day we will see the flower opening. We have some lofty goals. That children would not learn just about Jesus, but would come to know him and love him. That their hearts, minds, and bodies would all be growing in knowledge, love, and service of him. That their relationships with their teachers would be strong bonds that nurture and reinforce the healthy development of their relationship with God. That they would grow in fellowship with one another and develop friendships that would support and encourage the living out of their faith. We aim high around here. And with God's help, by the work of his Spirit, not by our own endeavors, we hope that some of that happens here, week by week, and Sunday by Sunday. So, let's get practical. Let's look at some of these things we've listed here that we do in church and talk briefly about what they might look like for a child. So prayer, we pray in church. We also pray with our children, both spontaneously and through liturgy, in growing amounts as they get older. Listening, there's times where we expect the children to begin to learn to be quiet and to sit and to watch what's happening up at the front, developing these skills for when they too are ready to participate in the adult service. Greeting one another and learning to welcome the other people into the fold. So it's not just about them, it's about being with the other kids in the class as well. Being present and active in what's happening in their time rather than a reluctant participant or sitting on the edge or sobbing, which happens sometimes, but we work on it. Sharing. Reflection. Giving the kids time to think about and to ponder the things that they're being taught. Eating and drinking. We have to go back into the service for communion, but we do have snacks from time to time. They are definitely learning. They are definitely growing in relationship with one another and with Jesus. We sing, we worship, we confess with the kids. We teach them the confession in ever-growing amounts. All of these things the children do as well. It is a church. It's not just a lesson and time to do a craft afterwards. So this gives you a really brief overview of what we do with the kids each morning. And if you have questions, which you may, there actually will be a chance for you to ask them of me and Lori and Penny in a minute. But first, I want you guys to experience one of the ways that we learn with the children firsthand. Here's a verse. I'm sure you're familiar with it. It's about the church universal, the body of Christ, and the vine. It's John 15:5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So we've been talking this morning about church and about what church means and being part of the body of Christ means. I'm going to give you a chance to do what we would call a response activity. And the children in all of our classes do this to some extent every Sunday morning. This is a chance for you to be quiet and to spend some time in prayer, in listening, in thinking about this passage. On the paper that you'll have placed in front of you, I want you to draw or write words or doodle or make a graph or a spreadsheet if that's how your brain works. Whatever for you is an expression of your thought, of your prayer, of your pondering the passage. There's no set point you need to reach. There's no right or wrong. There's no task to complete. There's no test at the end. You can crumble it up and throw it out on your way out the door. You don't have to show anyone. It's not a contest. The point is just to spend some time meditating on and responding to the text in a way that helps you think about it more and think about it more deeply. Okay. So, now you get to do some more. I'll give you guys like about 5 minutes, maybe a little less. So, if you were our kids on Sunday morning, this would have been preceded by a presentation of the story, or if we're talking about doctrine, on a lesson about doctrine, or a sacrament. It would have been followed up with clear and explicit exposition and teaching from the text. We aren't just leaving scripture open-ended. We're not telling the kids you can think whatever you want. There is clear truths in scripture that are presented to us, and it is our responsibility to teach those to our children. You also would have had a lot of other options for response open to you. Depending on the age of the child, their natural form of response looks pretty different. Their attention spans are pretty different, too. With the little ones, the 0 to 4s, we would have responded with song and a review of the same story over and over again. We used figures to act out the stories with the kids and encourage them to use the figures in the same way, to play into the stories. We used songs and rhymes to reinforce the things that we're teaching. In some ways, especially for the little ones, their whole morning is response. And in other ways with the little guys, their response time is about 10 seconds. That's okay. Our primary class, which is kindergarten to grade 3, uses play and art as well to respond. They can play with the figures we've used that day to tell a story, choosing how to interact with the figures, and also giving us some insight into how they are learning and growing in their relationship with Jesus. They can draw or play with Play-Doh or write words. And the older kids in the intermediate class do activities more like you would have just done right now, as well as some group response as they get a little more older and more capable of working together to do things collaboratively. The point of this time, though, is not to produce something. The focus of it changes from week to week and class to class and child to child. It can be intensely relational, a chance for a child to spend some one-on-one time in conversation with the teacher or a helper, or very private, as they get lost in their own thoughts and response in a way that only children can. Going back to my earlier metaphor of a blossom, each child's individual response is one of the ways that we can see them bloom. Week by week, each child's response time gives us a chance to see some of the work that God is doing in the hearts of children here at SJR, to see what comes out of them in response to hearing God's word. And it's holistic. It touches both their heads and their hearts. An example. We are in the middle of a unit with both the little ones and the primary class on the parable of the Good Shepherd. The parable has been presented to the children for a few weeks now in various ways, with ever-evolving story. And my son Toby, who's 4, has been thinking about it a fair bit from week to week. And his understanding is very gradually growing and deep. Thinking of us all as sheep has been fairly profound for him, as have the conversations that have followed from it about us all being the children and God the Father. Driving through Richmond the other day, he was obviously thinking about these things, as he suddenly declared, "Jesus is the only real grown-up." Jeremy and I were sort of blown away. Giving the kids a chance to participate and experience and think about and respond to Scripture in a way that is meaningful and captivating for them allows God to work in their hearts, bringing a gradual deepening of their faith that is incredibly personal. It's giving room for them to develop their relationship with God, to know Him rather than just to know about Him. So we pray and we sing and we read the Bible together. We teach, we immerse ourselves in the overarching narrative of Scripture. We build relationships with the kids, and we value and give time for the children's response to God's Word, for their opinions and their ideas and their comments. Children's Church is meant to be a place where each child is nurtured and tended and fed good food and loved, with the hope and prayer that they will respond to the person of Jesus Christ, and grow to know and love Him their whole life long. Now, I have said a lot this morning, but there is a lot that I have not said or explained. And I'd love to give you guys a chance, rather than me going on and on, to ask questions about any specific things you have questions about, not only of myself, but also of Lori and of Penny. I haven't talked about what we teach, the content. I haven't touched on those things, because those are easy questions to ask and to answer. And we are always happy for you to come to us and ask to see our classrooms, or to hear about the unit that we're teaching right now, or opinions on what we're teaching and how we're teaching it. Also, you can come up to the classrooms and see some of the work that the kids have done in response to the things that we've been teaching them, if you want to see what it is that I'm talking about. So, Penny, right? You do. Because I have to. You can hide behind the podium now. Yeah.
It'll be great.
So, Penny teaches the intermediate class, which is grade 4, 5, 6. Hypothetically?
No,
4-5. 3-4-5. Lori teaches K-3, and I teach the little ones class this year, which is 0-4. Along with the help of a lot of people in our congregation. We are not a standalone. Yeah. Do you guys have any questions of us about anything we said?
What is circle time?
That's a good question. I actually did that announcement this morning in my socks because Jeremy came in and I was like in the middle of doing a song and I didn't have my shoes on, so sorry about that. Circle time is when, with the little guys, we sing songs, we do different rhymes and verses, and we present to them the story. Like I have been talking about, using figures or sometimes using felt board style or sometimes using a story. So that is their teaching and learning time. That's explicit. We also have play and craft, and during that time in our little ones' room is when we try to start teaching and reinforcing the story through craft and through play. It's kind of a build-up to our primary program. It teaches them the skills they need to do really well there, and it develops them where they are at.
I'm just thinking of that as we're talking, when I invited kids to church when I was in this age, we needed some basics. We kind of knew what church was. We probably didn't, you know, that my friends who I would invite kind of knew what church was. If they hadn't been going, they hadn't seen the church, they'd been inside the church, they knew what prayer was. If this kid that's coming, you know, want to come, his parent, I don't think he's ever been in the church. He wouldn't know what prayer was. He wouldn't know what the cross was. And I mean, we're talking super boring.
Yeah.
And this is a white Caucasian, boring Canada kid.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think evangelism is, of course,
absolutely
really part of this.
Yeah.
I think as teachers, we just have to step back. How do we teach it? Because when you're even giving a talk, this is in my mind.
Absolutely.
I'm saying, even your talk, if you brought his parents here, that would be so boring. Like, it would be like hearing something in Chinese.
If I was giving his talk in a different context, it would have been very different.
No, I know, but I was just trying to think. They have come today.
Absolutely.
And they are curious. I think for all of us, we're probably in that situation as our children are in very secular environments.
Absolutely.
And they are looking, and these parents are looking at our kids and who they grapple with. You know, they really like our kids and they want our kids to be taught that way. But I think right now his parents, I think, just cautious because it's so foreign. They don't even know what they want
to. Do you know what, Karen? To some extent, I think all of children's ministry always needs to be seen as evangelism. Because these children are not necessarily making a choice to come and participate. They haven't personally decided this is something they're going to take on. So when we're interacting with and teaching kids, we need to be really aware of the fact that we might be teaching children who blossom is still pretty close type. And we need to be sensitive to that, as well as the children who have a lively and active faith and are at a place and are talking and asking questions. I think giving them a chance to participate in things in a level that they can actively participate rather than not is a good thing for kids who haven't been to church before. Not a problem. This is not set up any more than an adult coming into a church service. It's not set up to be strange to the children. And I think the key of all of that is actually the relationship that the children build between the teachers and the helpers, and the fact that the attitude they will get from the teachers if they are new and having trouble participating is one of love and welcome and support, not one of, you really ought to know what's going on here.
Yeah.
So
I really like it's a lot of course.
Yeah. But all of our needs need to bring them. And I think it's probably important to state really clearly that our Sunday morning church program is not all we need to do as a church in children's ministry. Inward evangelism to the children that are here, but as well as social outreach into the community. We're actually running a Tuesday morning music class, and we've got a number of families coming with kids, and they're not Christians, and the moms are there for the half an hour. You can ask Krista Carter. She's running the website. It's on the website, so that's a great place to invite people. It's at 3:30, from 3:30 to 4 o'clock on Tuesdays. And I think as a congregation, again, speaking too boldly, we are really working to find ways of having things that are easy to invite people to. Gloria has been working on some family nights where we can hold an event that's a really easy invite for people like that. And that's great too, because if not just the children, it's actually something you can bring their parents to, so they can demystify what Christians look like and maybe pull down some of their presuppositions about what we're like and what we do. But absolutely do it. That's really important, and it's something that I think we need to remember and be aware of.
I know that as a parent, you want your kids to be reaching out to kids, so I think there's a lot of onus on the parent to continue to say, I'm calling up Eleanor at 8:25 saying, come on over and I will drive you. And if I don't do that part, she's not coming, right? And she needs to be here. And so that's, it's just keep continuing to go as a parent to be, it's like a total evangelism field for your own kids' friends, right? But it also is because our kids can't drive themselves. And so we have to do that part of it to just bring them in, to continue to be inviting and to invite them home after church for a meal. So you can just talk about what they've heard, and I think that's a good context to be, if they are totally overwhelmed, then after church when you're in the home with all the kids, what did you learn? What did you talk about? What did you do? And just explore that together, and then you can answer lots of questions one-on-one, which is really good.
The one other thing to say is the work we're doing with the children, what God is doing with the children on Sunday mornings, the development of their faith is actually the best potential way of evangelizing other children. It's not actually just in the one-off events. It's in children growing in their own faith, so they're able to really genuinely share that with other children. Elizabeth, the reason she's so keen for her friend to come and is probably praying for her is because of Elizabeth's own faith. So what we do on Sunday mornings is actually not clothes. It's actually how we spread the message. It's how the gospel works. We build up faith in our children who then go out and spread their light in the world. And that's easy to forget sometimes in the midst of wanting to do outreach programs, which are also important.
I like how Carolyn said she's looking around in a sense of place. We never really talked about
that. I kind of like about that too. All of these painting bees you guys keep getting invited to, the reason we keep doing all this stuff for children's ministry and asking you to help out is because the place is important. The space that you are surrounded by, both the time being set apart and the beautiful place and things to look at and engage with, really helps for children. That's a good point.
Thank you for all the work that you're doing. I get to see, as a public health nurse, in this community, it's a really, really serious community. And when I come to church, it's sort of like an oasis, for our kids. And one thing that we're seeing with electronics, and I don't know how you're seeing with electronics and information age, I can see 3-year-olds looking at that to use for 24/7. Just, I'm not exaggerating. And what we're finding, just in the inner city here, we've got a new preschool that just got some money, and they put more texture and stuff like sand and water, and the kids have been from the TVs for 24/7 for 3 years are just needing to touch and feel. And I'm thinking, as a church, as we're reaching out to this community, relational piece is really important. How when we're relating to the children, teaching back and forth about things he said about response and waiting for that response, it's going to be so important to be a light in this community.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, as much as, you know, the art stuff that you're doing and the touch, they have, like, some of these kids literally will touch the tree. They put some plants into this preschool. They were really having to touch the plants. They never really touched plants. So I think as a light, we need to be responsive to the darkness. And I consider that darkness, you know, the community and the
That's the
vision.
Care for children.
So I'll ask, Laurie, I know you're working, your work is dealing with tough situations, so I'm going to ask you what works well here. I'm kind of thinking about your programs. What works well in your class that you're grateful to see by way of contrast that you say hasn't, you know, been very destructive and kind of working in your work?
Well, I mean, the contest is striking the children that are here actually now. They're with their families and they're part of the family context. We are all learning, working, growing in the faith together. And so how the children can absorb and how to be with the children is different and easier than the situation of the children coming from in those circumstances, for sure. I think some things are the same for children developmentally across the board, and it's just what Kimberly was talking about, about fundamentally how children develop. And that's the same. It's just that, where a child might be five and in these developmental tasks, a child from that situation who's five is probably learning the developmental classes at a three-year-old. So just being aware of those things and being able to organize yourself and what they can do according to where they're at developmentally and not chronologically. And then built into the Anchor Children's Program is a lot of sensorial work. They do a lot of touching and sensory type of activities. And that is appropriate for children in that, all children in that age and where they are developmentally. So, there's similarities and contrasts.
I'm reminded that one of the things, it's in a way, it's a bit like clean water. Doesn't everybody have clean water? It kind of fades into the background. Mm-hmm. And you come up with a situation where it's not grateful for a lot of things that work well. Mm-hmm. So, one of the things I think this kind of reflection does is can help us, especially sort of like things, how grateful we are that we have sort of found a system that essentially work and working. It's not obvious, there's lots of things lots of things that are destructive. So how grateful we are for things that are invisible, we see that in all of them. We just create all things visible and invisible. Mm-hmm. They never have another visible and invisible. So I'm grateful for the invisible strengths that are being
demonstrated. I was thinking about the kids that I work with. Many of them are just sitting at home on computers, and they don't have anything else to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to reach out to them, but I'm thinking a lot of these kids in relationship with adults, and somehow do something after school is meaningful.
I wanted to, that's very true. I wanted to, just because we're out of time right now, thank Kim and Lori and Penny. Kim, for your talk this morning, very, very helpful. And I think it was apocalyptic. It revealed things that we needed to be reminded of. Yeah. Just going to read just quickly here from Paul, 1 Corinthians. Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Neither he who plants or she who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The Penny and Lori and Kim who plant and the Penny and Lori and Kim who water have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. So I think it's important for us to recognize as a church community how much effort and thought and prayer that these three have done in developing a coherent children's church strategy at St. John's. And most of what they do is unseen and unrecognized, and we need to be and volunteer, and we need to be very, very thankful for them and very grateful to them for their stand for the gospel with children in this context. It is God who gives growth, but these women and all the volunteers that are working with them are planting and watering and tilling the soil and doing that work alongside parents, and parents have a role here as well. So let me just finish with a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for Penny and Kim and Lori and for their wisdom and their effort and the clarity with which they are training the children in this church alongside families. And Lord, we pray that you would give vigor and growth and fruit to this ministry as it progresses week by week, and that we would, as parents, encourage observe and pray for that growth to continue. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.